Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A letter from Mary to her oldest son, Yahshua, who we call Jesus. Dear son, I'm getting a little worried about you these days. It's bad enough this circle of friends. I know you're older now and you want to have your own thing going here. But hanging out with tax collectors and revolutionaries and all kinds of people like that, I'm not sure that's best for you. But you know, I can tolerate them better than that cousin of yours, John. I mean, after all, running around in strange attire, screaming at people, that doom and gloom he's always talking about, I'm not sure that's the best for you to be around, son. Why don't you find a nice Jewish girl, get married, and have some grandkids for me? Your loving mother, Mary. Now, obviously, there is no such letter like that. I kind of imagine it in my mind, because maybe that's the way we think about John the Baptist, you know? We hear John the Baptist, and oh gosh, doom, gloom, shouting, all that. But is that really what John the Baptist is about? You know? When I think of John the Baptist, and I'll give away my age by doing so, somehow the image of George Carlin comes to me. You may remember when George Carlin burst on the scene in the 60s, he shocked everyone, not only by his language, but the things he said, the way he looked, with the beard and the long hair and all that. But you know, George Carlin had a way of saying things that got your attention. Not just to be shocking, but he made you think about things. He made you stop and think about what was important. You know, I think John the Baptist is a lot like that. I think John the Baptist is a lot more than some guy raging around in the wilderness talking about doom and gloom. I want to look at John a little bit closer. First off, we'll start with his name. Now, you probably know by now that names in the Bible are a big deal. They mean something, all of them, and you have to figure out what they are. Well, John's must mean more because not only is it his name, but it's given to him by God in Matthew's day. It's not his family name at all. They didn't like that name, but God, the angel from the Lord said, name him John. Well, John means beloved of God. So if you know any Johns in the world, their name literally means they are loved or beloved of God. So God must have had something pretty good in mind for John the Baptist, as we call him, if his name was to mean something about the love of God. And I think it does. I think John the Baptist, like George Carlin, and there are people in every generation like this, kind of come out of the blue. You know, they're unexpected. They kind of come from the fringes. And they shock us, but they also make us think about what's important. And that's what John the Baptist does. He's out there looking strange and all to get everybody's attention. He's shouting and yelling at people. But you'll notice, even the people he shouted at are not excluded. You brood of vipers, he might say to the Pharisees and Sadducees. But he doesn't kick them out. He welcomes them and suggests how they can live into this. He's proclaiming a repentance. And I know that word has sort of negative connotations in our society. But let's look at that word. That's his primary message. What does it mean to repent? Well, the literal Greek word, you don't have to learn this, I have to learn all these things, is metanoi, which means to kind of be doing this, booking along one way and going, duh, like Homer Simpson, and realizing you really want to be over here, having a duh moment, and having enough sense that even though you're headed this way, to go back where you belong to be. That's repent. That's what it's all about. In fact, the story of the prodigal son is literally an illustration of repentance. Because the son runs away in the story. But at some point, he comes to his senses and realizes even the servants at his father's house are better off than he is. And he starts to turn. You notice in the story, he doesn't make it all the way back, if you remember Luke's account. The father comes running to him. And that's what John the Baptist tells us. That just the mere hesitation and pause to think about where turning for home is enough that God rushes and offers us his grace, his love, his repentance, his forgiveness. Look at John's message again. He's trying to shake people up. He's trying to wake us up to make us realize that when we wander off on our own, when we get in these little nodules in our brains that kind of focus like this, we tend to wander away from God. We're all prone to roam. It's part of who it means to be a sinful human being. But it doesn't ever mean that we get far enough from home that we can't stop and turn. That's the message of hope and grace and goodness that John says even the Pharisees and Sadducees, who you remember he argues with and Jesus argues with, and Jesus does the same thing. He never tells the Pharisees and Sadducees they can't come, but he can't keep going to them. He just reminds them of the reality of the course they're on is dangerous. Very dangerous. I think George Carlin was that way in my generation. You'll have to discover who it is now. But I guarantee you, like John the Baptist, it'll be somebody surprising, unexpected, whom God will speak to kind of shock and wake us up. Wake us up. One of my professors told a great story. He grew up in mining country in this neighboring state. And when he was a teenager, he worked in the mine for a while because it was the only work available for him. And I remember that in that mine, there was one shaft that had been closed off on the track that hauled the coal. But you didn't ever want to go down that way because apparently there was a drop-off and a closed-off mine. And you got down there, and you might not make it. So you always had to remember to go the other way. Well, he was running one of the coal cars one day when the lights went out in the mine. And all he had was that little miner's light. And in his panic, he forgot, which way do I go? Left, right. As he picked up speed, he began to panic. And then he saw ahead of him this guy with a lamp waving his hand. It was his father cursing at him and fussing at him and yelling at him, go this way, go this way, go this way. He says, that's John the Baptist. That's God's grace. It might be not what we want to hear, but it's always the call to turn towards home and safety. He said no sight was ever more beautiful in his whole life than he realized his father was directing him towards safety. That's what Advent is about. It's to take a break in the midst of our craziness and our rushing in this world to contemplate what's real, what matters, and the fact is we can always go home, not because we have the ability, but as soon as we slow down from running from God, God will direct us back to where we belong. So in this Advent season, I hope we can be awake, be alert, focus a little bit on stuff, and be willing to sometimes go, duh, and turn. Because when we do, there will be God with his lantern hollering at us. Whether it be George Carlin or John the Baptist or someone else, will direct us back toward home. And that's the good news of Advent. Amen.